Shalom. This is Billy Brim coming to you today from my office at Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. I'm really physically in Israel this week. And so we invite you to log on. I'll be writing a blog to billybrim.org or .com. We'll keep you up to date on what's happening there. The book of Ephesians. I hope you have your Bible with you today because we're going to start right in this book. The book of Ephesians is filled with God's purpose for the church and for all creation. I'm reading to you now from the Numerical Bible. This is an old, it comes in several editions. And this one I have is from the Believer's Bookshelf in Canada. We can give you as much information online of where we get the Numerical Bible if you want to go online, billybrim.org. But it is something that was in print. This is very old. It was written long ago. I asked Sister Wilkerson, what is the best study Bible? It was actually, these are F.W. Grant's comments and Mr. Ridout, Samuel Ridout. And it's dated 1901. So I asked Sister Wilkerson once, what is the best study Bible? She said the best one she thought was this one. And it comes in several volumes. It's called the Numerical Bible. She also recommended a single volume, the Companion Bible, with notes by E.W. Bullinger. And so we have that. We even have that for sale. But I'm reading to you now from what would be Grant's comments from the Numerical Bible. Ephesians carries us to the height of Christian position. It is, as we all well know, the epistle of the heavenly places. Christ is seated there, and we are seated together in Him. This is the revelation of Paul. And this book of Ephesians is the height of his revelation. Thessalonians, Corinthians, Galatians, they all have their part. But the one that tells us of the heavenly seating with him, sharing his throne rights, is the book of Ephesians. We begin it today. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was a sent one, an apostle. That's what apostle means, a sent one. We went into great detail about how he was arrested on the road to Damascus and then how God took him aside and gave him a great revelation. It was the will of God. The letter is written to the saints which are at Ephesus. Now, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. This word saints. Folks, the Bible never ever calls Christians, believers, sinners. It doesn't even call them sinners saved by grace. It tells them that they are saved by grace, but it does not call them sinners. It calls them saints. It is wrong and it is robbing of the power and place of the church for Christians to see themselves as, quote, and I've seen bumper stickers with this, I'm just a Christian. Oh, excuse me, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. The only difference between you and me, I'm still a sinner, but I am saved by grace. What? You mean they're not? Every man saved by grace. Jesus Christ's blood was for every man. No, something happens to you in the new birth. You are no longer known as a sinner. It says in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5, you become a brand new creature, a species that never existed before. You were a sinner. You got saved by grace. But now the New Testament calls, and you can't find it anywhere, that any of the New Testament letters are addressed to sinners. They are addressed to saints. Saints in its bottommost meaning. If something is sanctified, it is separated. It is separated from other things. It is separated and made holy. The Hebrew word kodesh, holy. In the temple, of course, the people were to be separated unto God and holy, but also the vessels were holy. The vessels that they put the blood in of the little animals, or they put the oil in, or they put the water in, were holy unto the Lord. They're just for the Lord's use. And that is the meaning of the word saint. You're for the Lord's use. Sometimes people get mixed up because of a misunderstanding of 1 John, which is also a letter to the church, but it was written, of course, the Holy Ghost gave this one through the Apostle John. And in 1 John it says, speaking of the great revelation that of Jesus Christ that is left to us, this is the revelation. We saw him, we heard him, we touched him, the Apostle John says in chapter 1 and verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. This word fellowship means as partners and partakers. We are partners and partakers in the kingdom of God, the business of God. And truly, reading again, verse 3, our fellowship as partners and partakers, and the Amplified translates it like that, is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you. Here's the message Jesus left us. 1 John 1, 5. I think there should be a trumpet. Dun, da, da, da. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If you want to have fellowship and work with God in prayer, work with God in winning the lost, work with God in preaching the gospel, you have to know that he is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 6. Now, if we say that we have fellowship as partners and partners with him, partakers, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. In other words, if you're walking habitually in darkness, and you're saying, oh, I'm all right, I'm in fellowship with the Lord, you're lying. Now, he says in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we do have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Someone who's walking in the light is in a perpetual state of cleanliness because the blood cleanses you. You walk in all the light you have. Now, that is a parenthetical. 1 John 1, 7, you can put parentheses around it because verse 8 is going to go back to the guy who says he's got fellowship with God, but he's walking in darkness. So I'm going to put verse 6 with verse 8. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you're walking in darkness and people can look at you and tell, you can look at a person and tell if he's spiritually healthy. Just like you can look at a person and tell if he's physically healthy. You look at someone who's sick. There's this particular commentator on television and was doing some live commentation. I know this woman, and she looked really bad. She looked sick. And I thought, she's probably fighting the flu or something. She doesn't look like she normally does. And so people can tell if you're fighting, if you're spiritually unhealthy and you're walking in darkness. If we say, verse 6, that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But thank God for verse 9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes, we are saints. Sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we do sin, but you know them the instant you do. And you can go to 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. I have to use that often. But I am not a sinner. I am not called that in the Bible. I am not a sinner. I am a saint. I am separated unto God. And every letter with the great mystery of the church revealed that Paul wrote, He calls people saints. This is written to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the, now King James translates it, and many other translations translate it, faithful in Christ Jesus. But in a study of that word, I found that it does not mean faithful as trustworthy. The meaning of that word is believers, those who have faith in Christ Jesus. And to the believers in Christ Jesus, folks, that's you and me. That's you and me. Are you in Tulsa? Are you in Broken Arrow? Are you in Virginia? Are you in California? This letter is written to the saints who are in, I'll say, Branson, Israel. I'll be in Israel when this is broadcast. And to the believers in Christ Jesus. Do you believe? Are you a believer? I am. This book is written to me. And Paul sends me grace. Grace to you, verse 2, and peace, shalom, from God our Father and from our Lord, Yeshua HaMashiach. Oh, I got so blessed on that verse the other day. God is speaking shalom, peace to me. Shalom comes from the root word shalem, which means whole. The peace that comes from being whole. Jesus Christ told to them, I go to get peace for you. And when he came back to them after he'd risen from the dead, he said, Shalom Aleichem. Peace up on you. Hallelujah. Grace to you and shalom from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I always close this program by saying shalom. Shalom was the greeting that they used in the Bible. It was the greeting that the woman of the Shunammite woman. It was the greeting when Joseph went down to his brothers, go and find about their peace. And he said, Shalom. They greeted each other by saying, the peace that comes from being whole be upon you. And that's what I say to you, saints, believers in Jesus. Our teaching on the book of Ephesians and the glorious church can be had by you. It was a marvelous meeting. 8 sessions, teaching sessions, and also glory sessions. You can get it on CD for $65, DVD for $85, the whole set for $125. We'll give you absolutely free, just for calling us, if you want to get Brother Hagin's book, In Him, which will give you in a nutshell who you are in Jesus. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447, 1-800-972-3447, or you can order online. We thank you so much for listening today. And again, grace to you and shalom from our God and Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Billy Brim saying, shalom, shalom, until we meet again tomorrow at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3.